Welcome to Penikai Neighbourhood Church Weekly Podcast. To find out more about us, or to listen to other podcasts, please explore our website, nazarene.co.uk.
Right, we are live. You're live from our living room, waiting to see if anyone joins us live. If not, the video will be saved anyway, and it will be on Facebook later, and probably on the website. Hello. Hi, Chris. So we will be able to see who's joining us, and if you send us a message, hi Joanne, if you send us a message we'll be able to see your messages. So good morning everyone, Bore da. It's Keith's first time doing Facebook Live, so
yeah,
pray it all goes well. And I'll hand it over to you.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I'm just going to hit record before we start.
Yeah, because we're going to record the audio as well, so it can be sent out to people that don't have the internet.
Well, good morning, everybody. Like Faith says, it's my first ever time doing Facebook Live, which is a bit weird. I kind of find it strange preaching when there's nobody in front of me. So, first of all, I'd just like to say it would normally be breakfast service this morning, and I'm really missing having breakfast with all you guys, so I've actually waited till now to have a bit of breakfast. Don't want to make you too jealous, but happy breakfast, church.
Crumpet.
Tea, anybody? So it would normally be breakfast.
Show them
church.
That mug. Show them the mug.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a bit of a scary mug because it has my mug on it. And my brother's scary mugs. So this morning's going to be a little bit different than a sermon in church because I've decided to do it a little bit more conversationally. So Faith's here with me and we're going to be talking about paradox this morning, but we're going to be kind of just chatting together as we explore paradox in the Bible. So the first thing I wanted to say is, what is paradox? So Faith's a languagey person. She's studied linguistics and all that kind of thing. So I'm going to ask Faith, what's paradox mean to you, Faith?
Right. When I think about the word paradox, I think of things that don't make sense. So where you've got two things that are opposites, but they're both true. I'm not saying about that one yet, am I? That one.
You can.
So things that don't make sense. So in the Bible, the one that doesn't, the big one for me is when I think about creation. So it says in the Bible, God made the universe and he made it good. He made it perfect. So when we look at creation, we go, wow, it's beautiful, and it declares the glory of God. And it says in the Bible, you know, it's good, it's really good. And we can see that. You can see waterfalls and butterflies and everything's beautiful. But also, when I look at creation, I can see how messed up it is and how bad it all is. So on the one hand, the universe is beautiful and good. And on the other hand, at exactly the same time, the universe is horrible and broken. Mm-hmm. And those both are true. Like,
yeah,
one
yeah,
isn't true.
True.
Like,
yeah.
But we kind of can focus on one or the other mm-hmm. at any time, but it doesn't make the other one not true.
No, so
the
universe, simultaneously true.
They're both true. And it doesn't quite make sense that two complete opposites can be true. And then the other one is this. Do you want me to say about the other one or not?
No, I thought you were actually going to say about the frog. I didn't think you were going to say that yet.
Okay. Also, this morning I found out that there's a frog called the paradox frog. So I'm going to bet that Emily and June will be able to tell me more about this. But there's a paradox frog, or the paradoxical frog, which makes no sense because the tadpole is huge. The tadpole's like, I don't know, this kind of size, and the frog is this size. So the baby is four times bigger than the adult. So that does not make sense. So June is watching. Hi, June. I need you on this. So apparently there's this frog where the baby is four times bigger than the adult, and it's called a paradox frog.
Wow.
So to me, that's how nature's full of these kind of things where it just doesn't make sense. Like, how can something bigger grow into an adult that's smaller? And that goes against all the other frogs where they start off tiny and end up bigger. So that's a paradox where things don't make sense and both opposites are true.
So you're basically saying that a paradox is like a contradiction that's not a contradiction.
Yeah.
Or or I suppose two things that are hard to reconcile with each other.
Yeah, like they're both 100% true, but they should negate each other. Like one, if one's true, the other one shouldn't be true. But sometimes a paradox means that both opposites are true.
Okay, yeah. That's good. Well, I'm glad that you've said that, because if that wasn't your definition, then the rest of my sermon really wouldn't work. So it's good we've started there. It's interesting you mentioned about the paradox frog, because actually I remember when I was learning to fly and we were doing the theory of flight, I remember my teacher in college saying that the bumblebee is a paradox because scientifically it shouldn't be able to fly, but it can. So there's another paradox for you. So one of the reasons I wanted to talk about paradox this morning is because in these crazy times that we're living in at the moment with the pandemic and coronavirus all around the globe, it causes people to think about paradoxes and God. You know, some of the really, really big questions, like, for instance, you know, how can God be both completely good? How can God be all good and all powerful at the same time? And things like this pandemic happen, you know, how can God be all good and all powerful and sin and evil exist in the world? So that's a paradox that people wrestle with at times like this. Or say, for instance, another paradox that people wrestle with, and you might hear people saying things like this, you know, why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen, to good people? You know, there's...
Why do good things happen to bad people?
Well, yeah, there's that too. I mean, that's also a paradox, right? So, I mean, at the moment in the pandemic, you know, there are good people who are dying, you know, and we struggle with that. And we say, why? Why, God? Why is this happening? And I think in particular, you know, it's true that bad things are happening around the world all the time. But in times like this, when things are closer to home and when things affect us more personally, then we start to ask these kinds of questions, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to bring this message. So that kind of brought me on to thinking about paradox in the Bible. And when I started looking at paradox in the Bible, I was just blown away by just how much paradox there is in the Bible. So why don't we start with the Old Testament? And Faith, you kind of already, you've mentioned already paradox from the Old Testament, haven't you?
Yeah, sorry, I used it too soon. But no, my example from Genesis, can I just say, I don't think there's ever a time when Keith preaches and says, I read the Bible, and doesn't use the phrase blown away. But I quite like that. So Keith is always blown away by what he reads in the Bible. Or mind blown.
Yes, fair to say. I'm
okay.
Not ashamed of that.
Yeah, so mine was from Genesis, and just the idea that creation is good and creation is broken. I don't think creation stopped being good. I think it's still good and it's still broken. So in the Old Testament, you see that quite a lot. So before Jesus comes, there's this just massive tension between the world is supposed to be glorifying God and people are supposed to be glorifying God. And they are. They're his creation. They show his power. They show his love. They show his faithfulness. And at the same time, they just show how rubbish they are and how broken everything is and how evil humans are and how the world is just a mess, really. And I think that has never changed so far. it's the same. So when next time that's you're so looking true. Around at creation, just kind of appreciate the tricky paradox that there is, the both, you know, the good and the horrible all around us.
Yeah. So true. That's so true. Yeah. I was trying to think of what example comes to mind when I think of paradox in the Old Testament. One of the things that jumps out to me is actually two whole books that are an entire paradox in the Old Testament. You know, if you remember, think back to reading the book of Proverbs, you know, Proverbs is all about cause and effect, you know, and it's all about if you're a good person, good stuff will happen to you. And if you're a bad person, bad stuff's going to happen to you. And, you know, God will reward evil with, you know, punishment and will reward, you know, faithfulness with blessing. And that is true. And then yet we come to the book of Ecclesiastes and that just turns that whole idea upside down on its head. And all of a sudden the book of Ecclesiastes, which is also in the Bible and also true, is telling us, well, look, actually, you know, often good stuff happens to bad people and bad stuff happens to good people and the world isn't always fair, you know? And there's that tension within the Bible that is constantly playing out. So that's, I'm not going to spend too long on the Old Testament because we've spent 2 years on that. So let's go to the New Testament. So what about paradox in the New Testament, Faith? Can you, you got any thoughts on that?
Oh my gosh, there's a really big one and it keeps me up at night. I don't know about you. But this whole idea that the Bible says, Jesus tells me I'm a new creation, you know, I'm all new, I'm set free, sin's not a problem anymore, right? It's all been dealt with, I'm clean, I'm fresh, I'm empowered by God to live this new life and everything's new and that's our hope. Right, that's our gospel. Yeah, yeah, that's what we tell each other and ourselves, and that's what Jesus says. He says, "You are all new. Like everything's new for you." And then there's me, like the old me, and that's true too. And it hasn't gone away. And the struggles are still there. And every day, this new creation has to fight old battles every day. And that massive paradox for me has been a big struggle.
That's
like
a big
my
one.
Whole life.
That is a big one.
I know that both things are true. And I think it depends on my mood that day or how the day's gone, which side of the paradox I focus on, and that can, it's not a good thing. I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm saying it's something I need to really find peace with, I think, but that both things are true, and that there's this really big paradox that I'm saved, I'm forgiven, that God loves me, it's okay, I am a new creation, and I have to fight every day, and I have to the same battles and the same weaknesses, and God hasn't magically turned me into this perfect person. So there's this. I remember in Bible college, one of the things that stood out really badly, probably the one thing that I really remember is this phrase, I'm sure you might come to it, but yes, but, you know, like one of our teachers always used to say, the Bible is full of yes, but, or like yes, but not yet, or yes, but not now, or yes, but you still have to do something. You know, there's like that paradox.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus says yes,
yeah,
but sometimes there's a little but. And,
I actually heard of a really famous preacher who used to, when he was reading the Bible, if he'd come to places and he'd put YBH in the margin, yes, but how?
Yeah, but how?
You know, and often we read that, I am a new creation, yes, but how?
That's
you
why, know, sorry, that's why when I put the advert on Facebook that we were going to go live, I put Vicky Pollard going, yeah, but, no, but, yeah, but, no, but. And sometimes, I don't want to imply there's like this massive like, like God's yes, God's just like, yeah, I've done it.
Yes and amen.
Yes, it's a massive yes from God. Yeah. And also,
all promises are yes and amen in Jesus.
My sin is a massive no. and the both are true at exactly the same time.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
the paradox. It isn't that, I'm not saying there's this uncertainty in our salvation that, well, maybe I'm not saved. I'm not saying that. But just that both are true, that God is a great big yes. Mm. He's like, yeah, absolutely. Mm. The cross says yes. Your sin says no. And so I suppose it's like just finding peace in that paradox.
Yeah, that is a really, really good example. Yeah. Makes my examples seem kind of less interesting.
Oh,
actually,
no,
no, that's an amazingly good example. I was thinking actually, my examples are a little less deep.
Welcome to the deep mind of faith.
I was just thinking that like the last book of the New Testament we study was the Book of Acts, and I was thinking how many paradoxes there are in the Book of Acts going through. I mean, you just start with the fact that you know. How about like, you know, Paul is stoned and he gets up in the power of the Holy Spirit and he walks out and he carries on preaching the gospel. Stephen's stoned and he doesn't get back up, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
Or what about what about when Paul is in jail, sentenced to death, and an angel comes and lets him out miraculously and he walks free, but James is run through with the sword? And yet, they're both apostles, both preaching the gospel. You know, why does one apply to one and it doesn't apply to the other? Or even, you know, it goes on and on. I was thinking about, you know, what about when the guy falls out of the upstairs window out of boredom when Paul's preaching? You know?
Be careful.
Or and Paul goes down and raises him from the dead, or he raises Dorcas from the dead. And yet, there were a lot of people that died that didn't get raised from the dead, or even think about all the people that Paul healed. And yet we know from Paul's later letters and how he talks about writing with big writing and that kind of thing that Paul actually was struggling with his own eyesight and going blind. And yet here was a guy who could raise people from the dead and healed blind people and healed deaf people and made the lame walk and stuff like that. So, you know, there's some massive paradoxes there.
Yeah.
In the Bible, just even coming out of like the last book that we studied, the Book of Acts. But one thing I was thinking that was maybe a bit more personal to myself is that a lot of you will know that I've been struggling with anxiety recently. And because of that, I've been really, really studying, you know, anxiety in the Bible. What does the Bible say about anxiety? And one of the most famous, one of the most well-known scriptures for that is Philippians 4:6, where Paul tells the Philippian church, do not be anxious about anything. And anything is a pretty all-encompassing word, and he commands them, do not be anxious about anything. And I'm thinking, you know, why the H? Yes, but how? And yet, when I read through the book of Philippians earlier in chapter 2, let me check the verse here, it's chapter 2, verse 28, Paul talks about his own anxiety in quite strong terms. And he actually says, he's talking about his friend Epaphroditus, who's come to help him. And Epaphroditus has been ill, and he's worrying about how people at home will be worrying about Epaphroditus, and he's worried about Epaphroditus. And he says, I'm sending Epaphroditus back to you so that I may have less anxiety. You know, it's burdening his mind. And he says, so that may have less anxiety, I'm sending him back to you. And there's this paradox in this letter, you know. You've got this definite statement, and then the guy that makes the statement talking about his own anxiety. So it's an interesting one, that. So, and in other places he talks about, you know, his anxiety over the Jews and how he wishes he could swap places with them, you know, literally he could die in their place. So, you know, that's the New Testament. But if we come to the Bible as a whole, the big picture, there's a lot of paradox there. You know, we get what theologians call the already and not yet of Scripture, the fact that things have already been accomplished and yet we're still waiting for their fulfilment. So
phrase from Bible college, which I had remembered so well.
I thought that might be what I thought that might be what you were referring to.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh. I think in like one. Pictures, not words a lot of the time. But anyway, the already and not yet. That was
yeah.
it.
Yeah, sorry. Like the victory has been won.
Yeah.
In Christ, and yet the victory is still to be won, you know. We have freedom, we have salvation, and yet we're waiting for freedom and we're waiting for salvation and all of those kind of things, you know, in the future. So it's been completed, but we're waiting for completion. There's this tension in the Bible. But so that begs the question, you know, what is the answer to all of this paradox? And I believe that the answer to this paradox is the greatest paradox of all time.
Yeah.
And I believe that the greatest paradox of all time and the answer to this paradox is the death and resurrection of Jesus. The cross of Christ is the greatest paradox of all. You know, the fact that, nobody saw it coming. It's that unlikely. It's that big a paradox that nobody could see it coming. And even when Jesus said it was going to happen, nobody believed him because it just didn't. It didn't make sense, you know. It seemed impossible to reconcile. You know, how could death bring life? How could death bring life? In fact, the death of the author of life brought life to those who brought death into the world. I mean, is there any greater paradox than that? You know, I think about God. God beat death with death. God used suffering to triumph over suffering. Pain caused pain to cease, and the murder of an innocent man brought forgiveness to the guilty.
Brilliant.
You know, I mean, I don't know what you think, Faith, but to me that just says that there's truly no paradox that God cannot reconcile.
Yeah, the way I kind of think of it is like our little human minds, we like things tidy. We like everything to make sense and fit in our box. But when you think like our brain is only so big and we're only using so much of it, imagine the mind of God.
Yeah.
Who is outside of time and space and all of our... He made science, right? He made the rules. But for him, paradox really isn't an issue. Like, I don't know. I don't want to be irreverent, but you think like Doctor Strange, right? And if you've seen the Marvel films, the way he can bend time and space and be in more places at once and do all these things, like God is that and so much more, you know, that he is literally outside of it all and he can do what he likes and how he likes.
Yeah.
And to him, more than one thing can be true and yet one thing is true. Like, it's a bit crazy. And for him, the cross... is, yeah, like you said,
it's like the ultimate example of that.
I feel like he expressed himself that, like, you know, this makes sense to me. This the way that death brings life and life hangs on this moment, our life hangs on that one ugly moment, is a bit, I'll use your phrase, it does blow your mind a little bit. But I feel like when we're struggling with it, we're struggling to understand it, it can help to just think of how God is bigger and different to us in a way, and that if he says that's how it is, if he says that's how it is, that's how it is, and that's what faith is, isn't it? Faith is trusting. God says that's how it is. God says that's how it works. He says there's the paradox, and that we have to deal with it, you know, and it brings this incredible freedom. I love it. The cross is
Life's complicated and paradox is confusing, and especially at, you know, times like this, we can feel that. I think sometimes paradox can be for a reason. We see that in scripture. Sometimes it can be to teach us, you know, until we learn to represent God in all things. You know, I think that the paradox of anxiety with Paul and Epaphroditus, you know, maybe I have no peace in certain situations because maybe I'm missing something. And maybe if I had peace, I'd go on misrepresenting God in that thing. You know, perhaps Paul's anxiety over Epaphroditus' illness gave Paul an opportunity to represent God by loving him, by loving Epaphroditus and loving those who missed Epaphroditus. You know, that's possible. But then...
different types of anxiety.
There's different types of anxiety, you know, and there's different types of paradox. And, you know, sometimes paradox is because of the fall. Sometimes paradox is just because we live in a broken world. Mm. Sometimes it doesn't have a good explanation other than the world is broken and that we are waiting for the full redemption that Jesus bought for us on the cross, the day when all things will be made new. And, you know, we've been told the end of the story and we've been told, like Faith said, to follow and to trust God. And we know that God, only God has the ultimate truth, because, and it's not that he just has truth. He is truth. He actually is truth itself. So because of that, he's able to reconcile all things to himself, as Colossians says. So I don't know whether you want to say anything in closing, Faith, but all I really wanted to say in closing is that, you know, during this crazy time with coronavirus and pandemic, continue to put your trust always in God's grace and mercy and in the triumph of the ultimate paradox, the cross, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Saviour.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got nothing to add. Yeah.
So, amen.
Just that it all comes back to the cross. And, yeah it's been said. It's good. It's good.
So, that's it from us this morning, and hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to seeing those of you that can make it in Zoom church tonight, where we'll share together and pray together. And if you've got anything that you want to discuss from this morning's discussion, you know,
shall we end in prayer?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that
at the end of the video. Oh gosh, I'm losing my voice. At the end of the video, I'll save the video and I'll stick it on the Facebook. So if anyone joined late, David Montgomery, if anyone joined late, they can go back and listen to it from the beginning if they want to. Let us know any comments or feedback, and we're going to pray to finish.
Yeah, and love you guys.
Really looking forward to seeing you all later.
Lovely to see you, David.
I'm going to pray and then you can pray and
Sounds
then we'll
good.
Say goodbye. Yeah, Lord guides. God, there's a lot to be worried about, and there's a lot to be thankful for. And even in my prayers at the moment, I feel this massive paradox. Like, I want to ask you so much to help and to change things in the world right now. Mm. And at the same time, I'm really thankful to you. And one thing I'm really thankful for is for this chance to focus. Maybe not everyone feels the same, I get that. But even in the busyness, even in working and looking after children and being stuck in the house, I feel this sense of focus, of having a chance to think about things a bit more. Mm. And one of the things today we're thinking about is this paradox, this balance of things in the universe that you have built in, good and bad and light and dark and big and small and great and and the already and the not yet. And God, I pray that in everyone today that's listening, or those that you know, we talk to about this, Lord, that you'd release like a curiosity in us and a sense of excitement and hope, not anxiety and depression, like, oh, nothing makes sense, but hope, like, whoa, nothing makes sense. And yet God is over it all, and the cross makes no sense, and yet he did that for me. Lord, give us a sense of focus and excitement today.
Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for your truth. I thank you for your cross. I thank you for your people, your church. I thank you for everybody that is watching and everyone that will be watching. And I thank you, Lord, that you acknowledge the paradox, that you acknowledge the confusion, that you acknowledge the difficult, you acknowledge the hard. But not only do you acknowledge it, that you are willing to become part of it. You are willing to join it. And that you solved the greatest paradoxes of all by becoming the greatest paradox of all through your death and resurrection.
Yeah.
And that through that incredible paradox, that death defeated death, that suffering defeated suffering, that, you know, this... that beautiful, beautiful act of love. That we can put our trust in your ability to reconcile all things.
Yeah.
And to give us peace in a world where there is no peace.
Yeah.
And to look forward to your coming, when everything will become clear and everything will be beautiful in your presence.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We love you guys.
Love you. I'll save it to Facebook so you can listen back if you want. Okay? Bye.
Take care. Bye.